This is Holding Court with Patrick McEnroe. Patrick serves up the hardest-hitting podcast in tennis with news, politics, and insights you won't find anywhere else. Here's Patrick McEnroe.
All right, welcome everyone. Another edition of Holding Court. Patrick McEnroe here, and I have been lying in wait, waiting for this interview for a long, long time. My good buddy, Dr. Todd Meckles. We're going to start, Todd, because I know we're going to talk a lot about mental health, a lot about your work in the psychiatric world. You're just killing it here in New York City with NYC Psychiatric Associates, the company you started. I was there right in the beginning when you started it. So obviously I want to get into that a lot since, as you know, as I've talked to you about this season four, we're doing a lot of mental health and mental awareness on the podcast. But let's start with the Todd Meckles' tennis game, okay? I want you to describe, to tell my fans out there about your game. We play tennis together quite a bit. And what describe the strengths and weaknesses of the Docs tennis game, please, as we introduce you to Holding Court. And thank you for being on.
Well, thank you very much for having me here. It's a great honor to be with you. As far as my game, pretty strong player, strong 4-5 player, approaching, higher levels up to the 5-0, so about college level tennis. I still play all the time. You were my coach for a while, as you know. And, I would say that the strengths of my game are very, very strong forehand. Very strong forehand, strong serve, can get the serve probably about up to 110. Very, very quick at the net. Especially in a doubles match, if I have a good server, I really pick off a lot of balls. Very strong reaction time in the net. And a very, very strong overhead. Some of the things that we've been working on and that I still need to work on are the backhand. I would say conditioning. And lastly, the mental aspect of the game we've been working on, which is tremendously important, not losing your head on the court. As a psychiatrist, I can tell you all about that. But that's something that I think has gotten a lot better, sort of getting really mentally tough and zoned in those tough points that really, really can dictate a whole match. I would say a good 50-60% of this game is mental, and sometimes I really can get a little nervous on the court, a little tight, the emotions run. I mean, I'm a little bit hot-headed, I would say, at times.
A little, you think?
It's passion.
Let's just say you have some serious energy out there, which I love, right, which is one of the reasons I played with you quite a bit. We haven't been on the court that much lately because I've sort of gone away from doing the private lessons so I could focus a little bit more on the kids' programs at the Tennis Academy. But to give my listeners, again, a little bit of a background into how you got into tennis, how you think it helps, obviously, what you're doing in your career and your profession. And I got to hear about where you are with the league, because I know you got the league play. Turn your alarm off. We're on the podcast. We already started. That's your podcast. You're like the busiest guy in New York City creating your own psychiatric business, which is, again, what I want to get into. But how did you get into tennis? How did that start?
Basically, I started as a kid. I was playing high school tennis, started taking lessons at about 7 years old. And I was very into tennis, played tournaments as a kid, probably was on track to perhaps be a good division two or one player. But I kind of kicked back a little bit in high school to study, etc. And then in college, I kicked back while I was in med school. But after med school and residency, I realized, when I was in Kansas City, that tennis was all over the place. A lot of courts, a lot of easy access to play. And I was struggling in residency. A lot of irritability, mental health.
You were struggling just with your own issues when you were in residency? Okay.
And a lot of it was irritability, sleep deprivation, stuff like that. And mental health actually is the number one reason why a lot of doctors don't complete residency or drop out of medicine. In fact, about 30%. I realized every time that I was on the court, I felt more relaxed after I played. I felt more comfortable I wasn't, you know, as irritable with patients, staff, and colleagues, et cetera. And it became sort of like a prescription with me. I said, you know, if this is helping me, then I got to do this more. At the low point, if I could tell you about it, there was a case of a kid, one of our patients, who very, very good kid, came into the hospital over at KU, was diagnosed with bipolar disorder.
This is KU as in Kansas.
Kansas University. Very high functioning kid, got sick with bipolar disorder. We fixed him up in the hospital. And and it was a great story. And he's actually gone on to big things. But when he was being discharged from the hospital, he was going back to school in Virginia. And they weren't giving him an appointment. 6 weeks and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And to me, that just wasn't right, because a lot of it is kind of, you know, it's just standard, you know, with it. We don't, you know, our clinic's full and go somewhere else kind of. And that wasn't okay with me, because I wanted the patient to have the best. So I called the clinic and I was irritable and it was overnight. I said, this is not acceptable. I wasn't screaming or anything, but I really started pushing it. And kid got the appointment, but the next day, okay, the program director of that clinic found out that, who's this doctor from KU so irritable on the phone? You know, right. Pushing for this right. guy to get an appointment. That was unprofessional. He was too forceful. I kind of disagree. I wanted the kid to have care, and he got care. But that's all right. Anyway, my program director at Kansas University ended up getting a call from that program director saying, you got to get this guy under control. I mean, he's too hot-headed. Mm. He's irritable. I mean, that wasn't a proper phone call. Long story short, I knew I had to make a change, because my program director at KU at that point said, there are three options for you. It's going to be probation, it's going to be remediation, or it's going to be dismissal. And, you know, she obviously cared very much about my success. And she's just like, you can't act that way. And so what ended up happening was, she made me log my phone calls for 3 months. I did the remediation program, but I started playing tennis. Mm-hmm. And when I started playing tennis, every interaction that I had, I was able to sort of rein it in and not get so frustrated and angry and deal with these kinds of situations that upset me and deal with them in a more professional and calm manner. And if it weren't for tennis, that would have never happened, because the irritability and the stress builds up so bad in the body. And tennis actually is increasing chemicals, neurochemicals in the mm-hmm. body, endorphins, serotonin. Okay. It's burning off cortisol, the exercise, which is important, which I could never do because I hate to run. And that immediately calmed my mind down. And I was able to really change. And it became such a prescription. I knew that I had to play, because if I didn't play, I was at jeopardy of losing my career. So what I did in turn was, I said, well, I got to have constant games. So I started building USTA teams, et cetera, and a team that I still have.
This is while you were still in your residency,
yes.
Right?
There was a lot of teams there. There was a lot of 4 or 5 teams. Everybody takes tennis very seriously in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. It's a subculture. And I wanted to play 4-5. I felt I was a 4-5. Couldn't get on the team. Because if you're not a top 4-5, you know, all these teams are filled, they're going to give it to a top guy at that level.
Right.
So I made my own team. And that, making that team, not only gave me the tennis and the exercise and burning off those chemicals in my body that were making me feel anxious, but they also allowed me to develop tremendous leadership skills, make tremendous lifelong relationships. People that have helped start New York City Psychiatric Associates, they are on that team. Build confidence in others. Be an effective coach and captain, which is necessary for what I do in New York City Psychiatric Associates today. And help inspire others. This team has improved every year. Okay, I think it's a staple of good teamwork on the court, but in any company too. Everybody's a part of it. Everybody is contributing, okay? This team has won 37 of 38 matches, has been to the national tournament once, and last year missed it by a smidge. We lost to St. Louis, but I do feel we were even a stronger team. And this year, I do expect us to win the 4-5 national title, which is the best, technically the best recreational team in the United States of America.
Well, I know firsthand that that's one of your dreams and one of your goals. And since you and I have known each other, which is, did we meet just before the pandemic, or was it, I think it was just before, right?
We met or about a year before when I moved back to New York.
A year before. Yeah. So it's been about 4 years or so. And I remember you once in a while asking me to do a video for your team. But even more importantly, I remember you showing me some of the inspiring messages you would send to the team.
Yes.
And I'm like, man, this guy, like, you know, this guy, meaning you, in my mind, I'm saying, this guy's fired up, man. Yeah. I mean, he's into this. But the fun part of it is there. Like, I watched that and I said, this is so cool. Like, we got a bunch of these guys who are super into it. But how it is translated into what you've done in your career to me is really remarkable, because I was right there when you were first starting this company and you were grinding, you were working so hard, and I know you would come out and get your tennis in, as you said, to kind of help your mental mindset. But it's the parallels between your team, meaning your USA 4.5 team, and the team you've created at NYC Psychiatric Associates, to me, is what's really amazing. And how have they meshed in your own mind?
Yeah, I'm so glad you asked that question, because it's been a total mesh. And it's just been a total great thing for New York, I think. I started being a private practice psychiatrist myself. I built a successful practice myself. And while I was, kind of coaching the USTA team. And I always wanted to be a leader of others, and I always wanted to inspire others, and I always wanted to make the biggest difference for the biggest amount of people possible in a positive way. And I was doing that on the court. I was doing that with my guys, building confidence. But now, opened an opportunity for a real chance to affect the lives in a positive way of millions of New Yorkers. As one doctor, only going to be, I can have a caseload of about 1,000, which is very high. For a doctor, it's only so much you can take. I'm limited by me. But I said to myself, if I can succeed, and a lot of docs are kind of struggling to find their way working in hospitals, a lot of them don't really love it, a lot of them can't really succeed in private practice or having trouble with the administrative business aspects and don't make it. So I said, if I can succeed at this, to this level of success that I've had, which is way better than any of the other jobs that I've had in hospitals and et cetera, working kind of on my own, then I can help other people succeed, other doctors succeed. And I do feel docs have been somewhat marginalized out there, and it's been my mission to make it such that this is the oasis for doctors. And not only that, by having these doctors loving being here, being fairly compensated, being autonomous, loving what they're doing, okay, what we've seen, okay, based on a variety of metrics out there, factors, patient ratings online, et cetera, is the results are outstanding. So what we're seeing is that of these 40 docs on our way to hopefully a couple hundred, is that they're producing, they're making money, they're doing well, they're taking excellent care of patients, and they're happy. And then if they're happy, the patients are happy, mm-hmm. and it's showing.
Right.
And if we can get 20,000 New Yorkers better, which we have, it made a difference in the lives of them, which, by the way, psychiatric medications can and do, then we can potentially do 200,000 or 2 million New Yorkers. And that is a chance to make a very, very, very big dent in the problem. Without tennis, you asked, I couldn't have done this. Okay, because tennis, A, gave me the ability to remain calm, cool, and collected, gave me the ability to understand what it's like to deal with defeat, adversity, and match plays and pushing forward, gave me the ability to understand that the sky is the limit in what we've done with this team, winning 37 of 38 matches, being top in the nation, seeing the power of a team and how it's not just me, and that, I mean, my guys on the team are the ones who do it all, get us there. And being the best in the country in the 4-5 tennis of 2,000-3,000 teams, if you can do that, then you can lead a team of doctors to be the best in the country in medicine. And without that confidence and the skill set built into tennis, that would not have happened.
Well, Todd Meckles, everyone, he's the CEO of New York City Psychiatric Associates, and he's joining me on Holding Court. We're going to take a quick break. We come back. I want to hear your thoughts, Doc, on what you see in the world, because obviously so much has transpired through COVID and where we are now, through drug use, et cetera, what the issues you see. And then also, you know, on a slightly lighter note, but it's important, in the tennis world, what do you see when you watch tennis and you watch, because I know you're a huge tennis fan. So we're going to talk about those two things when we come back to this edition of Holding Court. North Organic CBD is a new sponsor of Holding Court. I love their CBD gummies. They come in two delicious flavors, strawberry lemonade and green apple. I've had them both amazing. One a day, and you're totally okay. I like to stay active. I like to keep playing tennis. I like to get in the gym. That's why I love North Organic CBD. Their products are made in the USA. They're high quality. They're specially formulated broad spectrum organic CBD products for everyday adventurers. Don't forget about the very popular CBD salve from North Organics. Immediate relief of any physical pain. I use it daily for my sore shoulders, sore knees, hips, you name it. It works wonders. Go to NorthOrganicCBD.com and enter Patrick20, that's Patrick20, for 20% off your order.
The Johnny Mac Tennis Project transforms young lives
by removing the economic, racial, and social barriers to success through tennis.
JMTP provides tennis as a vehicle for greater life opportunity.
The programming provides a pathway to success through competitive tennis, leading to increased health and fitness, college scholarships, and incredible career opportunities.
JMTP introduces tennis to thousands of underserved New York children every week.
To date, the Johnny Mac Tennis Project has reached over 10,000 students through its community programs, providing 462 individual scholarships, totaling over $8.6 million. And 32 of its scholarship recipients have gone on to receive college scholarships through tennis. For more info, go to jmtpny.org.
I can't wait to hit the court after school.
All right, welcome back. Holding Court here, Patrick McEnroe, and it's a fascinating conversation here with Dr. Todd Meckles, huge tennis player, big-time tennis fan, and, of course, doing incredible work here in New York City in the psychiatric area, helping patients all over the city, really all over the country, building a huge business. What's the biggest thing right now, Todd, that you see? And obviously, you don't talk about your particular individual clients, but just overall, with, you know, the mental health of individuals, and what are the topics that are most prevalent you see in the patients coming to you and your team looking for some help?
So basically, what we're seeing a lot of is we're seeing a lot of anxiety and depressive disorders, and I think that's the biggest uptick. That, and we'll talk about ADHD in a second, but I think that's the biggest uptick in what's going on, particularly in New York. And the reason is, a lot of people will say, oh, well, it's the food we eat, or, oh, it's you know, this, or what we're putting in the water, or anything. But what you got to really simplify it. And what it really is, okay, is that the world is getting very difficult, okay? So if you go back to basic biology, you put a rat in a maze and he's trying to find his way out, you know, the rat can get very, very anxious and starts, you know, getting anxious. So what we have here is we have, I think, just so many people, especially in New York. I mean, rents are so high, everybody's trying to make it, and there's just not enough room in a lot of senses. And as a result, that's increasing prices, increasing expectations, and increasing the demands on the average person to make it in New York. That's what I'm seeing. And as a result, the anxiety and the stress, which is a disease and illness in itself, which probably always was there, which we know is due to a dysfunction in a chemical called serotonin, synapsing on an organ in the brain called the amygdala to calm it down. So that's getting exacerbated, okay? So, you know, the medications we use, okay, a lot of the medications, and there's so many in pharmacology today, is extremely effective on kind of bringing that anxiety down to where it needs to be in the middle. You don't want to have anxiety shooting through the roof because, and it's like, you know, primitive times. The bear's coming to the cave. The bear's coming to the cave. I stay up all night. Bear never comes. You don't sleep.
But you're worried. You're worried about it all the time. Yeah.
Flip side, if you don't have any stress whatsoever, everything's fine. The bear comes to the cave and eats you. So that's analogous to if you're not doing your work, you'll lose your job. If you're not taking it seriously. Right. So we really want it to be in the middle. And, you know, this is, we've known this for a long time. And we are using pharmacological techniques with no side effects. And a good doctor can get around side effects. Everything has side effects, but a good doctor can get around side effects to the point where the patient doesn't feel it. We optimize the functioning of the brain, okay, with medication and appropriate medications, and we can kind of get that anxiety under control and in turn get the depression under control, which, by the way, is almost always in most cases due to the extreme stress and anxiety. That's what I'm seeing.
And you obviously see this extreme stress and anxiety if you watch, you know, a big time tennis match, or if you watch a 4.5 tennis match, right? When you see great athletes, Doc, who come out and talk about mental health or talk about, you know, you see them going through their own stressors when they're out there, you know, in a big time competitive environment. What are the things you're looking for as a specialist in this area to say, hey, that person, you know, forgetting about the athletic side of it. I mean, we all know a lot of it's about that, the genetics and so on. But when you're watching someone, are you looking for certain signals about, hey, they, you know, they've got their head on straight, so to speak, as an athlete, as a competitive athlete?
Yeah, you know, I can almost always tell when I watch tennis when a player's feeling it. I really can. And I kind of always wonder, you know, what it would be like if this player, if I just gave him a little bit of an SSRI, how it would change things. Now, keep in mind, these guys are playing tennis all the time, so they're very mentally tough, and their bodies are naturally producing that serotonin often. But on that big point, that anxiety is flaring up. And let me tell you, and I know it very well, even a little bit of anxiety will totally affect the muscle movement, and that slight micro change in your stroke, okay, totally affects the shot. And you could lose a match. And just like in life, when, you know, you're, oh, I got a big interview, or I got this coming up, and, you know, the stress can get to you and you can blow it, you know? And that happens in tennis. And one of the classic examples, and I hate to say it because he was my favorite guy, but I go back to Fed Djokovic. I think it was 2021 Wimbledon, or maybe I'm not sure which year, but when they went to
the one that went the distance to the fifth set
at 45 at
5-3 40-15 fifth set
at 45 Fed serving, he closes that out 99.999% of the time. He lost that match because of his head. I can almost assure you that. I mean, that's my opinion. I think I'm right. His serve didn't have the pop on it. And the most mentally tough guy of the big three, in my opinion, the guy who never let his head get to him and was so clutch on the biggest points, which was so amazing. You know, he's my third favorite of the three, but it was Novak. I mean, Novak, that guy was bulletproof. And there are guys like that. I mean, even guys like Michael Jordan, in clutch situations, they don't fold. And that's what we're trying to get people to do here. And myself, I'm working on this every day, is you want to do the best you can and maximize your potential. And I tell this to my teammates all the time. You guys go out and work as hard as you can and be the best you can. But we're not going to lose to our minds here. We're not going to lose to fear. And that's one of the missions of my life, to get that fear under control and never let fear, which it can do, affect your performance in life or your performance on the court, you know, and it happens so often. And that's one of my goals as a doctor, because,
you know, I can see having this conversation with you. Of course, I've known you for a while and seen you on the tennis court, but it's fascinating to me to hear you talk, because now I sort of see where you're coming from when you send those text messages to your team, because to you, of course, it's about the winning in tennis, but really it's about a lot more than that, isn't it? It's about life.
It's about life.
It's about It's about life. It's about learning how to handle the stressors of your life. And tennis is just sort of a vehicle for you, isn't it?
100%. And, you know, my wife, a lot of the times, as much as I love her, is telling me, well, why do you got to go down to Kansas City? Why can't, you know? And I'm trying to explain to her that this team and what we do in tennis is a microcosm of everything that I've achieved, okay? The team, okay, instills values of fair play, which you have to have in life. My guys never make bad calls. It instills values of loyalty to one another, okay? My guys don't leave the team. We stick by each other. When we lose tough matches, we've come back stronger. It resiliency, okay? So that's a tremendous value. It instills value of honor and sportsmanship. When you lose a match, you shake hands, okay? We've come back stronger from several defeats that, you know, could, just like in life, could hurt a person, getting fired or something, okay? And you got to come back stronger. And this team has done so every time. And this, what's happening with the team is exactly what happens in daily life. And if you can navigate your way through it on a team, come back stronger, keep playing, improve, then your life will be the same way. And it has proven that way. You know, I love the fact that, you know, you have chances. I mean, if you talk about cheating in the world, a lot of, you know, some people take advantage of the situation. On the court, okay, you got a chance to win a match. Some guy hits a ball right on the line, and it's like, it could be out, but it was probably right, in.
Right.
You call the ball in. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what
and
you mean.
And that's one of the things my guys have done. And I've been telling my guys, I mean, this is a brotherhood for life, but, you know, you don't have the reason. You don't have guys complaining, I don't play enough, or this and that, which you do get on a lot of other teams. Because we all kind of know they have that value of loyalty, sacrifice, okay? Guys pick up, guys miss family commitments to play for the team. Because that one common goal of winning that 4-5 title, if you can do that, then you can do anything in your careers, your family, and whatever you want to do. I really believe that.
I mean, you've been on this path for a while now, getting to that 4.5 championship. This, as I recall, going over the last couple of years, the season starting to kick in, right?
Correct.
You start to when do your matches start? Usually around is it early May, mid May?
Yeah. We got about 8 matches. I expect us to win them all. It's going to get tough. You know, I expect us to get through the sectional tournament this year. Which plays everybody in the Missouri Valley section. And then you go on to nationals where you're playing all the sections of USTA, MO Valley, right. Texas, California, et cetera. Last year, the team that beat us in the sectional finals, I do believe we were probably the better team, but on that day we lost, so they were the better team. They actually finished, I think, 3rd in the country, so we're right there. We lost a lot of guys this year, unfortunately. The USTA kind of promotes guys every year that things are too good, and it was very distressing, and we thought we were done. But, you know, the team came to my aid and said, you know, Meklis, you're the rock. We're going to get through this. We're still good because we still had a lot of guys. And there's another parallel to life, you know. You lose people on your staff or whatever, so what do? We went out, we picked up 8 more guys, and I think we're just as strong, maybe a little less. You know, I think we're just as strong as last year, and a lot of other teams are weaker. So there was another major blow. I mean, it was depressing when, you know, 8 of your guys, you wake up and they're all promoted to 5-0. And
you got to retool. You got to retool the squad.
And we did it, and we're ready.
Todd, it's awesome to talk to you. I appreciate you giving me this time. Before I let you go, just because, Doc, you were nice enough to agree to do my podcast, I'm going to agree to play tennis with you. Well, to get you ready, okay, for the 4.5 season, as I've done in the past. I haven't been able to do it as much recently, but we're going to get it done. But here's the thing, though, because this is what I want people to understand about the Doc. When we have the lesson, okay, if it's whatever the start time is, 1, 2 o'clock, we go for an hour, it's pretty much a given that the Doc's going to show up 15 to 20 minutes late, okay, so because he's so busy running his business, and he runs out, he comes out onto the court, he gets his snack, he gets his drink. We all at the academy, we love it because we know there's only one Doc Top that comes out there and is fired up. You see it, but here's what you're gonna have to do. You're gonna have to be there when I say, if I say 1 p.m., you're gonna be there at 1 p.m., okay?
You know what? You're absolutely right. balance is something that I myself am working on. I'm really sorry about that. I'm extremely devoted to these people, and I get caught up. But I got to do better with that, because I know how important your time is. Now, I always did pay you for your time, your full time.
No, it's not about me. No, you always pay for the full hour. But here, it's like if someone shows up late for their appointment with you as a doctor, same deal.
Yeah. I got to do better with that. I got to.
Here's what I got to leave everybody with, though, because they're going to get a taste of it. You've been giving us some unbelievable information, which we appreciate. I know my listeners appreciate it. But I want my tennis fans to know that when I play with Doc Todd, okay, we do a lot of doubles drills, to get ready for the doubles. Yeah. And when he comes up to the net, okay, and he misses one, I just love it because he gets so lagged, gets so into it. More! He goes, give me more! 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 I want more! Right? That's you.
Let me tell you something. Persistence is one of the values that I've instilled, and it's everything. If you can be persistent, that's a tremendous thing. And that's another thing we haven't mentioned, is that you're going to get knocked down. You're going to get beaten up in this world. Even when you think things are going well, something's going to hit you. There's just too much going on. And one of my favorite movies was Rocky. There's nobody who gets hit and comes back more than Rocky. And that's kind of how I like living my life is, you're going to hit me and I'm going to get hit a lot more, but I'm not going down. You know what I mean? I'm coming back stronger every single time. And that's how I live my life. And that's how I like to have my patients live their life too, because life's going to hit, or everybody, life's going to hit you hard. The best advice I can give everybody is to get your mind strong and keep coming back stronger. And
that is great advice.
Find a way to succeed.
Yep. Yep, persistence and passion, and that's what makes Dr. Todd Meckles a success in what he's doing. Check it out. He's the CEO of New York City Psychiatric Associates. If you or any one of your loved ones need some help, he is the man, he and his team, to go to. And I will see you, Doc, on the courts very soon. Thank you for coming on Holding Court. Don't forget to subscribe to and share Holding Court.
Holding Court is powered by Mudhouse Media.